David Bodway. I'm at the, Our Savior's Midtown campus.
Amen.
Amen.
And I have a counseling center here in town, so I counsel a lot of these guys. If you want to know their secrets, just let me know. I'll tell you. If you don't want me to tell you secrets, just give me some money.
Some hush money.
Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for today. This is the day that you have made, and we rejoice in it. God, thank you for every man that's in this room. Father, thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be more like you. And God, we just pray that when we leave today, we'd have a better understanding of who you are and who you desire to be in each one of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, so y'all are my guinea pigs today. I'm preaching a message I've never preached before, and I'll tell you why I'm preaching it. So probably 3 weeks ago, I went and preached at Villeplatte, and I was preaching on healthy relationships, right? Which is easy for me. I mean, most of what I do in my counseling agency is relational counseling. And I'm preaching, and when I preach, I'm pretty tied to my notes, right? I mean, I write out my sermon, and I'm preaching in Villeplatte, and all of a sudden, in the middle of my preaching, man, the Holy Spirit just dropped something in my spirit. And I'm preaching on relationships. And, like, this is not typical of me. I'm preaching. The Holy Spirit takes me to John chapter 6. Jesus with the little boy's lunch, the loaves and the fish, right? And if you know the story, they've got thousands of people. They've got nothing, nowhere to feed them. And the little boy has his lunch, loaves and fish, five loaves and two fish, or five fish and two loaves, five loaves and two fish. And the Bible says that Jesus took what wasn't enough. He looked to heaven and he blessed it. And then God did what God did and multiplied it. And everybody ate and there were 12 baskets left over. Literally, I'm getting this download while I'm preaching. And all of a sudden, I just hear myself starting to say, the problem is, instead of you blessing what's in your hands, you're just complaining about what's in your hands.
Come on.
That's good.
And what God did, what Jesus did in the moment with what wasn't enough, he didn't start trying to calculate. He didn't start complaining. He didn't look at the little boy and say, what am I going to do with this? All he said was, he took what wasn't enough and he blessed it. And then God began to do what only God could do. And I became so emotional in that sermon. And I began to weep, and I said, I think many of us have just been complaining about the relationships in our hands instead of blessing them. I have a stepdaughter, if you know my story. I didn't get married until I was 36, and I had two non-negotiables. I'd never married someone who had been married before, and there was no way I was marrying someone with a child, and I did both. And, and my stepdaughter was cute at 6, but I wanted to kill her at 16, right? Sacrifice. Let me just say sacrifice. And that's just always been very difficult. That relationship is always, she's 29, she's married, it's still just a difficult relationship. And I think what God dropped in my spirit was both for them and for me. And I think that many times, whether it's relationships, it's a business situation, it's a financial situation, it's whatever it is, many times, instead of following the pattern of Jesus by asking God to bless what's not enough, we just live focused on what's not enough. We live thinking about what's not enough, and we live complaining about what's not enough, right? And God doesn't necessarily respond to our complaints. He responds to our trust. Right?
Amen.
So I just want to share this. I'm going to read our passage real quick, John chapter 6, starting at verse 1. So sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed of the healing of the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, now, theologians say there was somewhere between 5,000 to 10,000 people there with women and children. And Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming to him. He said to Philip, where should we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Okay, just stop there. Jesus already knew what was about to happen. He was just checking on Philip's faith, right? And again, I would just say, if you trust him, he already has a plan, right? So, Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far would they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks for what wasn't enough, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same thing with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, that nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. I just want to share a few thoughts on thanking God for what's not enough. Thanking God for what's not enough. First of all, Jesus gave thanks for what wasn't enough. Faith doesn't deny that what we have is small. Faith thanks God because what is small in our hands becomes enough in his hands. Right? There were 5 loaves and 2 fish and thousands of hungry people. Jesus didn't complain about what was missing. He gave thanks for what was present. He gave thanks for what was present. Many times we say, I don't have enough. I can't do enough. My family isn't where it needs to be. My resources aren't enough. I don't have the talent. I don't have the opportunity. I wish I had somebody, what somebody else has. But Jesus teaches us here, stop focusing on what you don't have and start thanking God for what you do have.
Amen.
And every one of us have resources.
Amen.
Some may have more resources than others. But we all have resources and we all know God.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Yes.
So thank God for what's in your hand. The first thing Jesus did was, he began to thank God that he had a starting point. He began to thank God because he had something for God to bless. He had something for God to multiply. He had something for God to use. Andrew looked at what they had and essentially said, what are these among so many? That's what I'd have said. I'd have said,
man,
what are we going to do with that? I wouldn't have said
man.
And that's the way we often think. Look at my bank account. Look at my marriage. Right? Well, we know that's the truth. Hey, listen, we're empty nesters now. 3 weeks in. We dropped our last one off at LSU 3 weeks ago. So don't show up at my house without telling me. That's all I'm going to say. And we say, what difference can this make? But Jesus wasn't asking, is it enough? He simply asked, what do you have?
That's right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
If I'm Jesus, I'm going, who has enough food to feed these people? That's not what Jesus said. That's not at all what he said. He just said, what do you have? Zechariah chapter 4 verse 10 says, who has despised the day of small beginnings? It's Moses tending sheep. It's Moses at a burning bush. But it was there that God called Moses. And Moses called out, here I am. And look what God did with Moses.
Here I am.
Exodus 4:2. The Lord said to Moses, what is that in your hand? It was his staff. God asked Moses that question because God can use what's already in your hand. But you're either going to complain about what's in your hand, or you're going to look to God and ask God to bless what's in your hand. You're either going to be your own resource and you will come up short. Or you will trust God and let God do what only God can do. You may not have enough in your hand, but you have enough to put into his hand. Secondly, gratitude changes your perspective. John chapter 6, verse 11. When Jesus had given thanks. Jesus knew how many people were there. Jesus knew exactly how little food they had. Jesus knew 5 loaves and 2 fish weren't enough. And he still gave thanks. He didn't thank God because the supply was sufficient. He thanked God because the Father was sufficient. That's the difference. We tend to complain, Lord, this isn't enough. Here Jesus says, thank you for what we have. We say, Lord, I wish I had more. Jesus says, thank you for what is already in my hands. It's all about perspective. And let's be honest, guys. Many of us in this room have been serving God for a very, very long time. But many times our perspective is more earthly than heavenly.
Yeah.
That's just human nature, right?
That's right.
It's trying to figure out how am I going to make this happen.
Figure out.
Many times in what I find myself, the pattern I see in my life is, I do everything I know to do to fix it. And then when I can't, I go to God. And I probably waste a whole lot of energy and a whole lot of worrying and a whole lot of time and a whole lot of... Because Jesus didn't start going, what are we... He just immediately is in his hands. He looks to God. Guys, that's a lesson right there. That's a lesson. Gratitude doesn't necessarily change your circumstances immediately, but it does change how you see your circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't say for everything. He said in everything. You don't have to thank God for the problem, but you can thank God in the middle of your problem. Complaining counts what's missing. Gratitude counts what's present. Think about that in your marriage. Complaining about she isn't enough. Complaining about she isn't doing what she said she would do. She and just remember she's complaining about you too. Gratitude counts. Oh, trust me. Number 3. What is not enough in your hands becomes enough in his hands. The miracle didn't happen because the boy had enough. The miracle happened because what he had was surrendered to Jesus. There's some businessmen in this room who you know how to do what you do. And you're good at it. But I would just challenge you. Take everything you have and just give it to God and ask God to bless what you know to do. Because many times you're just doing what you know to do. And it's the right thing to do. But I would just say bring God into the equation. You know, my parents owned furniture stores. And you know, over the years, however many years that was, you know, we hired some
some rascals. I'll just say that. They were lost as a goose. But every Saturday morning, because you know Saturday is your big day in retail, every Saturday morning, my dad would make every employee get in a circle and hold hands, and he would pray over the day. And he would make them quote scripture about God providing and God being our supplier. And he would, and these, I'm talking, they were drunk at 3 o'clock in the morning, and now they're quoting scripture at 8:30 in the morning, right? But over the years, there's been several of those guys that I meet in church, and they would say this: man, when your dad used to pray, I felt something. Man, when your dad would make us quote scripture, I would leave there, and I would tell my mom, we quoted scripture this morning, and it just made an impact on me. You guys, I would just say this. I don't even know why I'm saying it, but I'm going to say it. Those little things was just God using my dad to plant seeds in people that God sent other people over the years to water, and eventually it became a harvest.
Amen.
Right? And I would just challenge you in your business. I would challenge you. Bring God into the equation. What you can do with it and what God can do with it is two totally different things. Jesus took the loaves. Jesus took what was available. He gave thanks. He distributed it, and God multiplied it. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The issue isn't how much you have. The issue is whose hands is it in. Number four, trust God enough to give him what you have. That boy had a choice, because if I'm that boy, I'm not giving up my lunch. Right? I like to eat. That boy had a choice. He could have said, I'm keeping my lunch. Everybody else can figure out their own problems. But somehow that little boy was willing to give what he had, and he put it in the hands of Jesus, and everybody ate. And the crazy thing is this, John 6:12, and they were filled. And then he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. They didn't just get a bite, they were filled. 12 baskets left over. The disciples started with a shortage, but they ended up with a surplus. Think about a water hose. A hose doesn't create water. It simply connects the source to the place where the water is needed. Your job isn't to manufacture the blessing. Your job is to stay connected to the source. Amen. To make sure you're plugged into the faucet. Because sometimes we spend our lives trying to figure out how we're going to make enough happen. But Jesus says, give me what you got. Give me your marriage. Give me your children. Give me your finances. Give me your talents. Give me your future. Give me your insecurities. Because God doesn't need much to do much. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, think, or imagine. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here's the contrast. This passage gives us two different responses to insufficiency. The disciples said, probably what I would have said, when they said, what's this among so many? But what Jesus said was, I give thanks. I give thanks. The disciples were focused on what they saw. Jesus was focused on who he knew.
Amen.
Who he knew. He gave thanks. The disciples saw the shortage. Jesus saw the source. The disciples saw what they didn't have. Jesus gave thanks for what they did have. The disciples calculated. Jesus trusted. And the lesson is this. Faith doesn't ignore the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Faith simply refuses to believe that 5 loaves and 2 fish
are the end of the story and that they're not enough. And I would just ask you to stop and consider and ask yourself the question, what am I complaining about? What do I find myself regularly complaining about? Your finances, your strength, your experience, your marriage, your resources, your influence, your abilities. Don't bring in what you wish you had. Bring in what you have. I was
last night scrolling online and I came across this guy in Nebraska somewhere, and man, he said something that I had never thought before. Philippians chapter 4. We all know this.
Rejoice always.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it out. All right, so rejoice. Lord, are we say it again? Rejoice that you're.
You're anxious.
Man. Oh yeah, here it is. Here it is. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. But listen, that's verse 6. The last three words of verse 5 are this. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Before he says, don't be anxious, he starts with, the Lord is near. And guys, I think that we all love Jesus. We all love the church. We all those things. But you need to remember, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. He's near to your marriage. He's near to your kids. Listen, God wants more for your kids than you think is even possible. I don't think I ever told you a story, but I'm just going to tell you to build your faith, maybe. Tara and I's oldest, Gabby. Gabby has just always been this incredible kid. She's like Tara. And she's not scared of anything. And she, you know, when Gabby was 12, she started her own granola company. And she was literally shipping granola to other states. Like, it grew, and she's 12, and she did that for a couple of years, and it literally began to grow and grow, and then COVID hit, and it just killed it. But that's the kind of, she's just driven, and she's always done what's right, always. And Gabby was a senior at Lafayette Christian Academy, and she met this girl from Lafayette High. Gabby was working a job, and she met this girl from Lafayette High, and we liked the girl at first. But then we realized, literally, this girl was spending all her energy to undo what Tara and I had raised our children to do, to serve God. And all of a sudden, for the first time at 18, Gabby's questioning God. Gabby's asking to do things she had never even talked about. It was crazy. But she was going to LSU in the fall with this girl, and they were rooming together. And it was not good. And Gabby started asking, I want to start going out on the weekends. I want to start going out downtown. God's not even on Jefferson Street on Friday night, but I surely wouldn't be. But Gabby had committed to do a 5-week internship at Times Square Church. And so she told us, I'm going to do my 5-week internship, and I'm coming home, and me and Riley are moving to LSU. Gabby left for New York about 2-3 weeks in. We found an old phone where her texts were coming through. And this girl was saying things to our daughter, like, don't you start this virgin crap. That's not what college is about. You know, don't you start this stuff about you're not going to party and go out. That's what college. And I remember I was driving into Maurice one day. I don't know why I was going to Maurice, but I will say there is a great donut shop on the right. I'm driving into Maurice, and I literally said to God, God, if Gabby goes to LSU with her, it literally has the potential to change the path of her entire life. And I'm just asking you to do what only you can do. And I say, God, there's nothing we can do. If we try to put ourselves in this, it's just not going to be good. 3 days later, Gabby texted us and said, can I talk to y'all? And so we called her. And let me just say this. For 5 weeks, people had told us, man, what are you thinking sending your daughter to New York City? Yeah. Literally questioning our ability as parents. Like, what are you thinking? Like, this isn't good. I have cousins who are like, dude, I would never. Gabby called us and she said, I have no business going to LSU with Riley. And Times Square Church is wanting to extend my internship to the end of the year. Can I stay here and transfer LSU to online, just do my college online and live here at the end of the year? And so we said, well, let us think about that.
Yeah, right.
And the next day we called her and said, yeah. And she's never come home. She's a junior at LSU online, and she's on staff at Times Square Church. I tell you that story to just say this. God is near. God is near. I tell you that story to remind you. Listen, we love Gabby. God loves her more.
Amen.
We see incredible potential in her. God has plans that we weren't even thinking about. Don't be anxious about anything. Tara and I were literally, when we found those texts coming on that phone, we were undone. But the Lord is near. And I don't know your story. And I don't know your situation. But I would just remind you of two things. Number one, the Lord is near. Number two, take what is not enough and just begin to give God thanks. Because when you begin to give Him thanks for what's not enough, you're telling Him, I trust you. I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. But I trust you. And the Lord is near. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're for us. And God, Lord, you know every detail about our lives. And God, I just pray today that you would help us to trust you. Lord, that you would help us to remember the Lord is near.
Yes.
When you feel so far away, the Lord is near. The enemy wants to look like you're unapproachable. The enemy wants to convince us you don't care. The enemy wants us to think that what our situation doesn't even matter to you in the big scheme of things. Lord, everything matters. If Gabby matters to you, their business matters to you. Their family matters to you. Their finances matters to you. Their marriages matter to you. We got to put it in your hands. God, forgive us for literally not sleeping, worrying about what's not enough when we serve the God who's more than enough. God, be with us. Be with our kids. Be with our wives. Lord, be with our families. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Good.
You're welcome. Wow.